Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. The Cleveland crew is back. They're joined by John Henson and Marquise Chris for a trip around the map, per usual. One thing is for sure, with the NCAA tournament in full swing, you've got a former UNC Tar Heel, a former Washington Husky, and of course the Arizona Wildcat, Channing himself, diving into everything March Madness and a whole lot more. So without further ado, J-Mike, Angel, Channing, guys, take it away.
All right, thank you, Allie. Good group assembled here today.
Yeah.
Let's start with the godfather, the founder, Channing Frye, soon to be retired, Channing Frye. Here he is. Good to see you.
Sorry, that was my everything good? Bad.
No, it was all right. It was all right. How you doing? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Before we introduce... still doing my Godfather impersonation. If he knows about the Bronzino, you gotta kill him. Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
It's dangerous out here for mobsters.
Ooh, it's dangerous out here for everybody. And speaking of that, we got
John Henson, Marquise Chris, they are featured guests.
Feature. We got to get the new
Angel
guys.
Angel and John, yes.
We got to get two of the
new
guys.
Interesting group you got here together.
Yeah, I know. A lot of big men.
I know. I like
There's seven of us, and yet the other night, two of us played.
Five out.
Half of us.
Five
One
out.
And a half of us.
Back
half
point,
of me
back,
is already gone.
Checked out.
I wouldn't say checked out. I would say, you know how like you got to get out the room, but you're downstairs having a drink, eating before you go? That's me. I'm still in the hotel, but I'm not in the room anymore.
We do have to discuss. This is going to be a topic for a later show,
yeah,
I'm sure, the retirement. We'll talk about this at some point, but this is the first show since John, your teammate, announced his retirement. Marquise, your teammate, announced his retirement. A couple more weeks, and it is the former NBAer.
Man.
Channing Frye.
Wow. Yeah. Had to. You know, it's time to go now. Mm-hmm. Better walk away than getting kicked out.
Reaction? Yep, reaction yep. From you two when you hear the news?
I was kind of surprised, I would say, because, you know, I feel like he still has a little more in him. But
a little bit. I got about 250
in the tank. He said a little more.
But you know, he told me, hey, he said, you know, I think it's time. Right. My friends are all retired and, you know. It's time to head on out. So, respect it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's just one of those guys. Every time you look at the NBA, you're just like, oh, he's still playing.
Yeah.
He's still playing.
That's what I'm saying.
Still kicking.
Is that a compliment to you or not a compliment to you when you're sort of like, oh, he's still around?
No,
compliment,
it's not
but here's
a negative
the problem.
Way.
My
I know you didn't mean
14
it
years would be so much better if it wasn't for freaking Vince and fucking Dirk. Just retire, you old farts. Jesus,
stealing
you're diminishing my shit right now, man. D. Wade is gone. Dirk said you're gone. Now you say you're coming back. We're tired of the pump fakes.
What I think is funny is just when you go up for a dunk in practice or anything of that nature and you come down, you're like, whew.
Ooh.
At that point, I was like, maybe.
Dunking is tiring, and it hurts my knees.
Still bouncy, though. Low key.
A little bit. You know what? Once a month. It depends. What's the humidity?
Those long arm dunks.
What's the barometer level? You know what I'm saying? Can't be too cold.
So you're bouncy, but you're bouncy in the South, then.
Yo, yeah. In Miami, I'm windmilling.
Okay.
Cap.
Milwaukee, you're getting a tough backboard slap.
Backboard slap, for sure.
Yeah, it just don't work like that anymore. Like, I can't wake up. It takes me so long to get ready, my warm up is more exhausting than actual game. And by the end of the game, I'm like, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's just not used to it. You know, I just can't play like that anymore. It's just like,
yeah.
Everything hurts. My toes hurt. I got a massage the other day.
That's what I was going to ask you. So like 14 years in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I see Vince like icing his lower shin. Like,
yeah.
Is that like things just hurt? And you're like,
things
what's
going
just
on? Hurt. And you're just like, what? And they're like, you know, everything usually hurts at the end of a season. So like a week after a season, you're like, oh man, I'm not feeling too bad. And then you're like, damn, my knees, my feet. And so just that pounding and stress and, you know, we're big guys. So that's a lot, you know, and we're upper echelon athletes.
Upper echelon.
Oh yeah. Okay. Upper echelon athletes. So it's tough to just, you work out all summer, lifting, running, shooting, more lifting, yeah. more running. And it's just like, we're not built for this. You know what we're built to do? Chill. We're built to chill. We're like, you never really see a giraffe sprinting all the time. He just walks, right? And we've been sprinting. I've been sprinting for 14 years.
Only time you're really supposed to sprint is if your life is in danger.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Giraffes only sprint when the tigers are chasing them.
Yeah.
And I've been on that track for 14 years.
And by the way, 21-year-old Marquise just laughing at you too, right?
Just laughing. He's been in the league 3 years. So guess what? Right. By the time he's 28, 29, he's going to have four ice bags in the ice tub, on his back, one on his shoulder, and just little naggy things. But it was worth it, and I'm happy. And luckily, knock on wood, no knee injuries, no real ankle injuries, couple shoulders. But, everything is good, right. And I could walk away. And that was one thing. Like, I see a lot of guys keep trying and trying and trying. But if you're not 100% into this, and if you don't, like, if this isn't everything, you're going to get yourself hurt. You're going to get somebody else hurt. And that's why, like, you know, they got to give me a week preparation before they're like, you might play next week. I'm like, all right, let me rev this engine up. You know what I'm saying? You can't start the old car up and just go to the store. You got to turn it on, go inside, watch a show, and then come back outside. Let that thing heat up, you know? My car's made out of metal. They're made out of new age plastic.
I don't think people really realize how much of a beating you guys take and then trying to work yourselves back. I know you're talking about the retirement aspect. You're young in the game. Then John Henson, you're working your way back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's got to be something mentally draining. But also, I mean, this is your job too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's your job. I love playing basketball. But, you know, playing is only such a small part, you know, of it, you know, and of the grind and, you know, it's just kind of part of the process of getting to where you need to be.
Explain that. What you mean, John? For those maybe who aren't as familiar, it's a small part.
Yeah, so you know, like, okay, I'm averaging 15 minutes a game for the season. I'm only playing 15 minutes a night. But the preparation that goes into playing that 15 minutes and taking those four shots that you need to hit at least 50% of per se, or threes, 40%, it's a lot. But that's just kind of part of perfecting your craft and you know, that's what makes it feel so good when you go out there and play well and win. You know what I mean?
Marquise, what's this been like for you first three seasons? I mean, your initial impression. I mean, you knew what you were getting into, but now that you have a little bit of, you know, you've been in the league for a little bit, your thoughts?
It's different. You know, growing up, obviously, we're big men. We've been bigger than everybody we play against. So, you know, nowadays you're playing against Steven Adams and Dwight and other big dudes like that. So it's like,
I mean,
that's our edit.
So you're 21 or 22?
21.
See, like when I was 21, I was like roaming through frat court in Carolina. So like, I can't imagine.
You
know,
you
know what I'm saying? Like, what? Frat court. Yeah.
And you got to think frat like court. 21 in college, you have the same routine for 4 years. I mean, the same thing. Like, this is how much you're going to hoop. This is how much you're going to play. Mm-hmm. So you're used to playing 30 games in a year, right? And so like when you get to the league, you know, each year you progressively make or get more and more time. But in the league, 1 year I went from playing, you know, 10 minutes a game to the next year playing 24 to the next year playing 28, 29 to the next year playing, you know, 16, 17.
Yeah.
So your minutes are never the same. So, like, for me, it's been the routine of trying to figure that out. It's the hardest part. And especially if you're not playing – because you're like, well, do I run today? Do I not? Like, guys who work out, one thing that pissed me off, and I think the older I got, the more I didn't like it, was guys who run right before the game. You know, the guys who get there early and run right before the game. To me, that bothers me to no end.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
So I had
that's what we do.
I've had a lot of coaches. I won't say any names, but we'll I guess, wasn't playing Chad. At the time.
We'll guess.
I wasn't playing at the time, and I would run before the game.
Yeah.
But you know, I would run because the staff would see me running, and it's essentially like, "Hey, he thinks he's not playing tonight," and I would get in the game.
No.
Yeah. I would literally go into the game when I wasn't expected to play. So I figured, I thought that was a little. That's why I did it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them to think like, oh, he's running before the game. He knows he's not going in.
Yeah.
And I'll get put in. So that was kind of the method to my running before the game.
Oh, so they were testing you? They were testing you to put you in?
No, he was playing a game with
you. Yeah, he was playing the game just like you play the game with you. Yeah. You gotta play the game back.
Yeah.
You
know, man, how it goes. Listen. One time here with the Cavs, so I knew I wasn't gonna play. Uh-huh. Right? Knew it. And they were like, Channing, this team goes small. Like, don't worry about it. Like, we got three bigs. Yeah. So I'm cool. Me, Jose, and Big Z played 3-on-3 half court for 35 minutes in the garden. Mm-hmm. Right? Before the game. We were going dumb hard. Mm-hmm. It was actually one of the funnest 3-on-3 games ever. Like, a good one. Good one. So, yeah, low-key, we're down 22. So I'm thinking... Oh, shit. Come on. Give me them heat packs. Give me, I need some electrolytes. Your boy is exhausted. So all of a sudden, coach puts us in 6 minutes. No. I think 3 minutes into the third quarter. So the first, they ran three plays, timeout,
Things are going south fast.
Yeah. What? When I tell you, we played, how many minutes is that? 14 straight minutes. No, more than that. Ooh. So... I think it was 22 straight minutes. Coach kept us in the whole second half.
You're just like, no subs.
But you know what? Like, sometimes mentally, you think, fuck it. Yeah, like, right. If I'm here, I'll make it look stupid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I remember Ray LaFrance when I was my third year in the league in Portland. Yes, Ray LaFrance played for Portland. Third year. He goes, Channing, your whole motivation should be, this motherfucker should never put me in a game because I'm going to embarrass him because of how good I'm going to play. Right? I'm going to make him keep me in this game, which is like, you know, you have that kind of mentality of like, well, if you don't want to play me, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But if you play me, I'm going to show the world you're making a mistake. Mm-hmm. And that was his whole thing. He's like, Channing, watch. If he puts me in this game, I'm going to do good and he's going to take me out and I'm going to give him the stink eye. And everyone in America is going to know he sucks. You know, and that was his motivation. It wasn't like, but he also was playing behind Joel Prisbilla and LaMarcus Aldridge and, you know, some really, really, really good players. So it wasn't like they were just scrub buckets playing. But it worked. And then I ended up going to Phoenix and getting a chance. But, man, the running before the game thing, I think there's so much time before the game to do your running. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. You know, people got their families in town, you know, and the other team. And you out there, get on the line.
What about post-game? Like, you know, hey, say I got – family in town, so I'm going on post game. I don't want to be sitting at the arena for 30 minutes.
Right. No, but I'm knowing saying, what about shoot around? Like, what about the morning? Right. Like, it gives a player enough time to get like prepared for the game. So do all your stuff in the morning. Yeah. You're done. Yeah. Eat your food, rest, massage, and prepare yourself to maybe sort of play. But don't. I just don't like doing that in front of everybody.
That's great vet advice, by the way.
For sure. Like, what is like you would say your daily routine to get ready for a game?
Wake up. Like if I'm playing or not playing?
You're playing.
If I'm playing? Well, that's probably. Let's check off the days that happened.
You don't know if
you're
going to play a lot.
There's three. Three is this. So here they serve breakfast. So you get your little breakfast, you get you a coffee. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to play, you know, I've already seen like film or I already know who we're going to play. So you go through shoot around. And usually shoot around, you have the same routine of how many shots you shoot, what you're going to shoot, how they're going to play you. But for me, I learned, and this is the thing that a lot of guys don't think, your shoulder, when you're a shooter, is a muscle. So you know how guys go through shoot around and they're all grouchy about their shot, blah, 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 blah. You're supposed to shoot the same amount of shots all the time. Mm-hmm. You know guys who like, oh, my shot doesn't feel good, so let me keep shooting? Mm-hmm. You're exhausting that muscle. Okay. You would never do that. Yeah. Like you would never shoot 400 shots and then think that, like, would you do 400 push-ups? Yeah. And then think in 3 hours your muscle's going to be able to...
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's like running before the game. It doesn't work like that. Keep your same routine. Ooh. Because that way you could say, you know what's a little off? I might need a little treatment on my shoulder. I might need to, like, you know, get something activated. Yeah. Like, shooting is really about activating your whole body and making sure that, like, for me, you're aligned, your feet are on the ground, you have good balance. Yeah. Other than that, it either it is or it isn't. Yeah. I mean, some of the best shooters in the world don't even shoot 50%. Yeah. So, what do you think? If you're 6 for 12, that's a great night.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're 9 for 12, you're on fire.
Yeah.
You got your barbecue chicken. You know? And think about it. That's if you get 12 shots.
Yeah.
Think about if you get 6 and you make 2, you get to a free throw line, get a couple rebounds, you probably got 6 or 8 points. So mm-hmm. 6 shots. That's yeah. not bad.
For sure.
But yeah, so anyway, shoot the same shots, come back, eat again, watch a show, go to sleep, yeah. go to the game. Game day stuff is simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like the off day stuff is where it gets complicated. How do I feel? When have I lifted? Have I lifted heavy? Have I lifted small? Are my feet moving?
Yeah.
What are teams doing? Do I feel strong enough? And like, it's a constant reassessment that yeah. gets very, very tedious. Now, mm-hmm. if you're not playing, the game has nothing. You have nothing
yeah.
to worry about the game. Yeah. It's literally you in your own little world. Mm-hmm. Like, I am the Puerto Rico to this America. I'm with y'all. Yeah. But you know what? I'm over here doing my own thing.
I got other things I'm working on.
For sure.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what expectation? A lot of these guys come in and they get these in-between minutes. And the biggest thing I learned from James Jones, I learned from a lot of the other pros is, what expectation does a coach have for you if you're the fourth big? If three guys get in foul trouble and you already worked out, you did your stuff, and he's like, damn, I got to put you in, or these guys are fucking up today, what is his expectation of you?
Yeah.
No. Nothing.
Yeah.
So people are so tight when they go in.
Sicily, don't mess up.
Yeah, but that's the problem yeah. is.
Not even then. It's that, but at you that point, own everybody your else is messing up. So it's like they're putting you in.
How are you going to own minutes? Like these guys. So the first team always practices with the first team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The second team always practices mm-hmm. with the second team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're on the third team, if you are 11 through 15,
yeah.
you're like, yo, can I get a sub?
Right.
And most of the time, no, you ain't getting that sub.
Hell no.
But that's like, how do you own your minutes? That's almost looking at Baker Mayfield. He never practiced with the first unit, but when he went in, he showed everybody what you do.
He definitely got snaps with the first unit. He definitely said he got
didn't.
Snaps.
He said he didn't.
Yeah.
Oh,
he said he did not work with the first
well,
he's
team. He's a savage.
Yeah, exactly. So that's savage. What makes his story so compelling.
That's savagery. It but may be in football.
It's football.
I guess like I'm just saying the mentality of going into the game and playing your game.
He's controlling their whole offense, really.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
They're going to go off what he goes. Like in basketball, we can't just jump in with anybody and then have the same rhythm.
No. Because like you can't put me and Z in the game together because, you know, defensively we do the same things, but offensively we don't. So it's not going to work. I'm not going to guard a four-man where Z's not going to guard a four-man. Yeah. Or like if me and Kevin go, he can guard a four-man, but I can't. And you know, either or.
Yeah.
When you come off the bench, when you're 11 through 15, you have one responsibility, and that is to be in shape and to be an absolute savage.
Mm-hmm.
Savage. Sure. Like, you got to affect the game. If you're a defensive guy, if you're 11 through 15, most likely, you're either extremely talented and young, and just don't get the game, or you are a specialist.
Yeah.
You're a defensive specialist, you're an attack-the-rim athlete, or you're a drop-dead shooter.
Yep, yep.
When you come in, you have no other responsibility to do that.
Affect the game.
Affect the game somehow.
Gotta affect
That's
the game.
That's it. But listen, go ahead.
Earn your check. Like, show why they should keep
affect
you
the game.
A part of their team.
Yeah,
the roster.
Listen, you could affect the game and still not earn your check because of like you earn your check on a daily basis of doing your job every day because you probably give everyone a different look. Who's this? Oh, it's my net bag. Oh, tight. Thanks, Angel. I think that's what I've learned over these years. Like it's easy when somebody says, here's 30 minutes a night, you can cruise. When you're like 6 through 10, 6 through 9, now you got a role, but you got your specific role. When you're 11 through 15,
for sure,
you got to come in there
I think I've been in every position.
I was just going to ask you that exact same question. This is one guy, right?
I've literally been in
every single one, right?
Not playing.
Yeah.
Oh,
28
yes.
minutes, 10 minutes, yes. 7
for
minutes.
For sure.
Like, I've been in that for it in 3 years.
All yeah, like,
man.
And you know, the best thing I say is like, you just got to mentally always just be there. Even if people don't think you're there,
yeah,
just got to just be there.
The older you get, the more you'll be like, like you see me, like sometimes if we get up by about 15, 16 and we're rolling, the pants is coming off, I got to start stretching. Yeah. We start getting down 20.
And you know.
I see how many fouls he got. I got to give Dan a nod. Like, I hoop today. You know, sometimes it's good to go out. Like, some guys are like, I don't want to play these last 3 minutes. If you go out there, Iceman, man, put me in. I'm going to shoot all these.
Yeah, for sure.
Because someone may say, damn, he's ready. He won.
You never know who's watching.
You never know, which is crazy.
Let's take that a step further. I mean, we have three players here in different phases of their career. I mean, John, you're right in the prime of your career, right? Mm-hmm. You've been in all of those situations. As we take another step, what does that do mentally to a player to have been through all that, to get it going every single day when you have had to vary your roles throughout your career?
I mean, it just gives me confidence, man. Like, it just, you know, knowing that I can kind of assume and morph into any role that's kind of handed to me. And I kind of pride myself on that, you know what I mean? Just being able to adapt and play a role where it's like, you know, when I was with J. Kidd, you know, there was like up-to-touch, aggressive defense, screen roll, dunker. Coach Budenholzer, hey, he calls me, he goes, hey, I need you to shoot 1,000 corner threes a day. Like, you know, I'm just talking. And so I adjusted to being able to shoot the three, and I shot a pretty decent clip for the short period of time. But, you know, that's kind of what I, you know, to stay in this league, you gotta be able to do that. You know what I mean?
It could be something little.
Yeah.
You know, mine was a little bit bigger, right? Yeah. Mine was like, okay, I was a true post-up center in college, went to the league, found out, nah, homie, we ain't doing that, right? But the league was very different back then. Like, I was guarding Shaq and Yao Ming and them big behemoths. I was like, this ain't it. This ain't it. I'm going to be out the league quick.
Yeah.
And then finally, Alvin Gentry said, take one step back from that bad mid-range because you're playing with Amari. Mm-hmm. Shoot this. Mm-hmm. But I could guard big guys because I knew if I guard you and you shoot this bad too, you got to shoot 100 of these.
Yeah.
You could shoot 10 of those. I could shoot 10 threes. And I'm going to outscore you every night. And you're going to be, you're not getting no rebounds.
Yeah.
You're not getting no blocks. And I am unconscious. Because Alvin's whole thing was, listen, I've been fired before. I don't care. That's what he would tell me.
Yeah.
He would tell me, he goes, I don't care if you're 0-10. Make me take you out the game. Make me take you out the game. If you don't shoot it, I will take you out.
And that was kind of the turning point in my three-point kind of evolution. It was a preseason game. I hesitate. I airballed. And Bud comes to me in the weight room. He's cool. He's like, if you ever effort hesitate again, you will never play.
Yeah.
I said, say no more.
Say no more.
Say no more.
Say no more. And that's kind of when it started to kind of click and develop. Yeah. So you know, I'm thankful for that.
I think that's a lot of coaches like don't encourage like the right shots. They're always quick to discipline.
Yeah.
But they're not like, listen, like you have to shoot that shot. Like I'd rather you can't teach unless somebody takes a bad one, right? But if they make that shot consistently, is it bad?
Yeah.
Like James Harden's shots, statistically, were the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't correct it. You can't correct it because that's good for them. Yeah. You just got to be like, damn, like, this is working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your shot, John Henson. You went over, like, at what point in your career, year three, year four, when, you know, coach was saying you need to take the three, and even with you, did you come in the league understanding where it was going? And so you already had that, you know, for you? Like, how is this game changing your game even?
I mean, I never truly was like a post-up big. Like, when I played in high school, I was shooting mid-range jump shots. I never really shot threes, but I was just dunking and shooting mid-range jump shots. But I think as I got to college, I started to shoot a lot more just because it was just something that I was able to do. I had a good touch, a good shot. But it was probably maybe like halfway through my rookie year where Earl Watson, he told me I have to start shooting like, I forgot how many it was, but it was like 25, 50 makes from each spot after shoot around though. So it was before every game. He was like, you have to shoot. If you want to shoot, you have to shoot these shots every day. I was like, all right, bet. I'm going to shoot these just so I can shoot in a game because I know I'm going to end up wanting to shoot it and I don't want him to be mad. So he made me shoot those shots and he didn't say nothing when I was shooting the game. So I just kept working on it. And then you know, over the summer, just trying to develop more and more and just growing as a player.
Here's my question for you, Marquise. Mm-hmm. NBA fans, NBA players, they know what Channing Frye is. Mm-hmm. They know what Channing Frye does. John Henson, same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what he does, right? When you game plan for Channing Frye, John Henson, you know what they do. Mm-hmm. In terms of you and what you want to be, you're in your third season, you're only 21 mm-hmm. years of age. What does Marquise Chriss want to be as he continues to progress in his NBA career?
I think a versatile athlete. You know, I don't think I need to be known as being able to shoot or just being able to dunk. I think I want to be able to be hard to guard and hard to plan for, you know, things like that. I want to be a guy who, you know, I play hard enough for it doesn't really matter what you do. I'm just going to try to outplay you. And, you know, I think that's something that I'm still working on. And I was talking to him, Channing, last game. He was saying in the second half, my energy was a lot better. And, you know, obviously I started playing a lot better in the second half. Yeah.
So I think it seemed like, I'll say this, it seemed like, you know, what happens is guys like scoring. But they think that, like, for them to score, like, they ask for a handout. But, like, the something that transferred from D'Antoni to Alvin, obviously, and to everyone in Phoenix when I was there, is ball finds energy. And, like, literally, you were bullying guys to get offensive rebounds. Like, your vibe is going to be, if you could take that little snippet of, like, oh, shit, this is how hard it takes for me to play this well, that becomes a consistent. And it's some guys don't ever find it. But they're talented enough to just kind of give 60%. If you can make your 100% consistent, let's be realistic. Nobody plays good 82 games. Right? Some of the best advice I got from a coach, I won't tell you. He goes, Channing, how much are you making this year? And I said, Coach, I said like $5 million, right? Or like, you know, whatever I was making at the time. He goes, are you an all-star? I said, no. He goes, do you start 82 games? I said, no. He goes, I expect you to play. Well, he goes, what do you average? I said, like 12-7, 12 mm-hmm. and 5, whatever it was. He was like, right, I expect you to get 12-5, 2 out of 4 games, right? And I expect you to get anything above that once, basically once a week. And I know once a week you're going to have a game where somebody game plans you and you get like 6-6. I just know it. Based on who you are, based on what this is. Now, guys like LeBron, guys like James Harden, games like Paul George, all those guys, they average a crazy amount, which is amazing because of who they are. But a lot of guys don't understand, like, you don't have to, you just got to play hard. It's going to happen. And then you build on that. But you don't have to, guys are like, I want to get 30. This ain't college. This ain't the pro. You ain't getting 30 shots. People who get 30, most likely, are either on fire, somebody says, let them shoot, or you are a savage.
Savages.
Savages. Think about how many people are scoring 50 now because they have free reign to shoot the ball all game. You don't really see, when's the last bench guy other than Lou Williams that got 30?
Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson. But listen, if we're going to say one thing about Jordan, what's he going to do?
He's going to get a bucket.
He's going to get a bucket.
Yes.
Nobody worries. That's him. That's what he does. He plays hard in that direction. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when you come off the bench, you just got to play hard because no one expects you to get 30. If you get 20, they're going to throw a, like, huge. Dave Nwaba had 22. On what? 7 layups and a bunch of free throws.
A couple steals.
That were really nice.
A couple steals.
Just he was hard just playing work. Dumb hard.
Owning his minutes.
Owning his minutes. And it, I mean, that's what it's crazy. Like, the older I got, the more I was like, oh, shit, okay. Like, this is so much more fun now. Like, it's tough to get to that position, to get comfortable where you're at, like in a rotation. But once you understand what's expected, and like if you have a coach that explains it, it makes the game so much more fun.
For sure.
Where you're just calm about it and you're just like, okay, all I have to do is make him shoot this shot. All I got to do is, you know.
Do what I do.
Do what I do. And that's it. And at the end of the day, watch some film, learn, and be about your life, man. Live good. But let's talk about something that's really important.
Talk about these.
You went to North Carolina.
Yes.
And Marquise Adilla, guys, he loves that nickname.
Oh, my goodness.
Keith Adilla.
How'd you get to UW?
I don't know.
You're from Seattle.
No, I'm not. I'm from Sacramento.
He's from Sac. Probably have to edit if I would. We'll just talk off. We'll talk off camera.
No. He got that back.
I wish. Shit. I would have stayed another year if I did.
How'd you get all the way up there?
I mean, he just...
It's not that far.
It's not really, but he came to a tournament where I was playing well, and then all the other coaches was like assistant coaches and, you know, recruiters and things like that, but he was the only head coach who was talking to me. So that just, that got me, like, kind of interested in what they was talking about. And then he was at all my practices. He would come down, like, every other month and sit down and talk to my family and me. Yeah. So it just, jobs. I had a better connection. Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Blue stuff chip. Like that. Oh, that's a nice story.
Oh, man, I like this new tractor over there. Yo, honestly, Coach Olson, I was getting these letters, so I wasn't really ever that good. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of like starting to like bud my junior, senior year high school. And Coach Olson wrote me a handwritten letter, which I found out it wasn't handwritten. It was handwritten from his
secretary.
But still didn't matter. He came to my thing, like he said. And that's all that mattered to me.
Right.
Yeah. And when I went down there, shit was cracking. With Richard Jefferson, Lauren Woods, Michael Wright,
Arizona
Gilbert,
was
Luke.
One of my favorites, but I was worried that Luke would be my coach. So that's why I decided I'm about to go to take him out of my top.
Yeah, Roy, man. I was
this classic.
Before I signed, North Carolina was like, we want you to come here, but we have, you know, y'all had a stacked team. Sean May, Rashad McCants.
That's your
year? Yeah, Marvin Williams. Raven Felton. Who else? You had...
you are kind of old.
Who?
I said, you are kind of old.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. The funniest thing, when you were just talking about the game and your body breaking down, when we were in Milwaukee, and this is just a blooper standpoint, and we'll ask you guys to give your bloopers of your season. Sometimes it's nice to laugh at yourself. But when you, I don't know if he jabbed or what the case was, but when you fell back for 12 seconds, if you haven't seen it, I'll show you.
Oh, you were
It was
here.
The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So, Brooke, I was like, no right hand. Mm-hmm. So he jabbed. So I tried to jump. But he stepped on my left foot. Mm-hmm. So you know I don't like to fall. If you can ever remember me, how many times have you ever seen me fall?
Yeah, you try to
never. You're too big I'll stay to fall. Up. I will take a charge, and stay standing up. I'm not gonna fall. I've seen too much shit happen, right? So for me,
sure.
He jabbed me, but then stepped on my foot. Now Brooke and I are cool. We played in LA for a little bit. I love his brother Robin. We're cool as shit.
Brooke's my guy. I
like yeah, Brooke, Robin are great guys. Yep. A little crazy, but great. And he stepped on my foot, and I was trying to get my balance, but the Kyrie's got super grip. Yeah. So I don't know what happened. Like, moon boots. Yo, you know, the niggas be on the side of the spaceship. Yeah. Koof, koof. It was making that noise. Yeah. I was like, you just got to fall, big fella. Yeah. So I just said, Jesus, take the wheel, and just finally fell back. But I was already by the free throw line, and he jabbed me at the three-point line. So
oh, man.
It looks bad. It was funny. There's a lot of bloopers. And guess what? Remember when I threw it to Colin at the beginning of the year? It was a big deal. You know how many times this happened this year? Like 9.
What happened?
Remember when I drove? You weren't here. I drove baseline, and Colin stood up and shake his hands like this.
Yes. The bench, yes.
So I winged it to him. Yeah. And he was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I was like, why are you standing?
And when you got here, you're like, oh, gosh, that's my teammate that's throwing the ball to the bench.
Same color warm-up as we had jerseys. So Boogie did it. All these guys are doing it now because everyone's standing up as somebody's driving baseline. And everyone thinks baseline drive, baseline drift.
For sure.
You know, we actually have one specific one. It was in Cleveland. Kyrie was coming off a pick and roll, and I'm like, oh, I can get there. I could slide.
Oh, no.
I remember that.
And I jumped out, like, trying to cut him off. And I literally couldn't stop myself. I just fell and slid. And there was like a meme of me like sliding into space. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, yo, so that was kind of the
funny story. I wish there was video of this. So Kyrie was coming back from injury, and I wasn't playing. So I was like, yo, let's play some ones. I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I want to see what it's like.
Yo, we're playing 1-on-1. I didn't score a point. Not 1 point. We're playing makers.
Did you get the ball?
No. It is impossible to guard this dude as a big man. He was like, if you get in a stance, he was throwing it through my legs. I was spun around so many times because you got to like force him a certain way, but he jumps right hand, right foot, left hand, left foot.
You can't time it.
Spin, you can't time it. Mm-hmm. He's literally not even looking at anything above your chest. Yeah. It's all your feet.
Yeah.
And then he's like, step back. And he just lets it, the hang dribble. Wow, 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 wow.
He's stronger. Then, he's stronger than people think, too.
Yeah, he'll bump you off.
Yep.
Big man hook shot.
Yep.
Bump you off, fake hook shot. Yep. He has big hands, so he'll like palm it real quick. And I'm like, yo. He's, to me, top three.
Unguarded.
I've seen.
ISO guys.
Top three ISO guys. Yeah. Obviously, you got to put James.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to put him. And then my other three that I played against that was on fire, it's a sort of tie between Baron Davis and Jamal Crawford.
You know, Rashad McCants was somebody that...
Dirty.
I've seen, I mean...
People don't know about it.
Yeah.
But in high school and college, he was a 6'6", 6'7", strong, could shoot, could dribble, could post.
Like score seven straight pickup, like built like that.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was the toughest guard, toughest guy you've ever had to guard?
Sheesh.
In your vast
I'll just never forget this moment. Wesley Johnson at Syracuse.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
I had to play against him, and at the time I was young.
Oh, like, you? Well, I just had four.
I was at the three and the
Wesley
four.
Was a high draft pick, by the way.
Yeah, and, he's a high draft.
Wesley's good. He's playing Phoenix. Can't dribble.
But he's can't dribble.
I mean, he was killing. Though. I mean, I was like, who is this guy?
Just shooting a J.
Same driving,
exact
dunking.
Game.
Yeah, exact game, but
in college.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nah, I would probably say LaMarcus.
Oh yeah.
I had to guard him every single. Day.
That was my very first game. First game. I'm like, oh man.
Oh, and no.
He's strong as hell. He put his shoulder on me.
He don't look that like he don't look the way he feels.
Yeah.
Like
pause.
He super pause. He's like his legs are way stronger than it is. Like he looks
strong
long
as
he runs
base.
Straight up. But his jumper is so high.
You can't block it.
You're not blocking.
You're not even defending it. Like he put his shoulder on me and spun around and shot his fadeaway. I'm like, you can't even be mad because you see it on TV. You're like, damn, that's tough.
You just got
to try. He do it on you.
Be there when he shoots it.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Dude, right. You got to do your work early. You got to just be like, listen, if you're going to score 50, you will be exhausted and have to go in this cold tub. Like, there are some guys, I'll say like top five hardest ever for me to guard was number one, Zach Randolph.
Mm.
Ooh. For sure.
Oh my God. Sure. You didn't get to.
I didn't get the prime Zach.
No.
The duck ins, the offensive rebounds, the physical. Like him and I, you know, we're cool. And he'd be like, Jenny, ready? I'd be like, man, let's get to wrestling. And I tell the ref, listen, don't call no soft fouls. I got to wrestle him. And the ref would be like, all right. Yeah. And literally from the 3-point line down, because that's how I was taught, it was. Stop him at
stop
the three-point line.
Stop him early.
And you got to chest up.
Yep.
And you got to, listen, if you going to get there, you got to come through me to get there.
Right.
So him, 2005 to 2008, Dirk.
Mm. Ooh, that was a bit. I mean, it's scary because I had Dirk on the back end of his career, and I just remember the scouting report and guarding him. You're not there. So I can't imagine prime.
And the thing was, it's not like he's bringing the ball up to court. He's actually going through their offense.
Right.
So the first 6 minutes of the game, you know, when he was playing.
Your decision, Floppy, where you can go baseline.
Yes. Oh, but it was nothing you could do.
Yeah.
Because you can't switch. Yeah. And if he comes off that side, he's 7 foot. So he's shooting behind. If you switch, he has a guard on him. So then you're like, switch. But then it was little J.J. Barea running around. Now he's fast as shit. Or like, you know, Devin Harris in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. And then finally, it was just nothing you could do with these two guys would be Shaq and Yao.
I can't imagine that, man.
I can.
Yao was Shaq impossible.
And yeah.
And I had to guard him for a little bit in the playoffs. And I'm like, what you want me to do with this?
Right.
Hip to hip. I've never seen a bigger guy hip to hip. When you're behind him,
I remember seeing
his
him at
hips.
University of Texas, they had training camp there. And I was visiting, like, college visit. And he walked in. I mean, his legs were.
That's what I'm saying. And then behind him, no tail, but from hip to hip when you're behind him.
Like, how strong was he?
He's just a big boy.
He's just so heavy, man.
But I watch videos on Instagram stuff. He'd be bullying people under the rim and just dunking the hell out of them.
But the thing was, you can't foul him.
Yeah.
Because he shot the foul shots. And he was shooting turnaround Jays, too.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was him and then Ron Artest and then T-Mac. And it was just like, oh, God, all that. It was ridiculous. I mean, the league has some amazing players. But I think to have some of those big old dinosaurs, I'm glad that I've seen the progression from like, I caught the end of AI. I think people sleep on how good Chauncey Billups was.
Ooh.
Right? Because I caught that. I caught that Detroit team, which was...
Boop, 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 Billups.
Oh.
Boop, 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 Billups, Billups.
Hey, it used to be cracking in Detroit.
Yeah.
For real.
Cracking in Detroit.
That's a good group of guys.
Yeah. Like Tayshaun Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
I remember when he got drafted. And I remember they were like, oh, he's too skinny. He's not going to be good. Man, he was posting everybody up and getting hook shots in the middle of the lane.
Yeah.
175, posting people, everybody up.
Yeah.
Everybody. I never knew how he did it, where his strength came from, pure sheer will.
Yeah.
He was so, like, Posey was good.
Yeah, Pose.
Pose was good.
Yeah, everybody. Antoine
Walker
Posey
was crazy because back then there was only two guys that would dribble the ball up to court and they were like 6'9". It was him and Lamar Odom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lamar Odom was nice.
Yeah.
Ron Artest was a beast in Houston.
What about Indiana? Ron Artest, Houston, he was the beast. He was a Houston.
Ugh, dude, Indiana teams with David West, you know, like
Stack.
Danny Granger, that you had to be ready for a dogfight. Yeah. Big Hibbert, you had to be ready for a dogfight. Like, that's what you don't really get those teams anymore. That's like, okay, here we go. These guys are huge.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be physical. Everything is so.
That's how Memphis was like my layups. Rookie year.
Yeah.
That was like Memphis. That's how people looked at them with Zach and Mark. You're like, when you play against them, you're like, you got to get ready to wrestle.
Facts.
Oh, he was still trying to go at me.
Tony Allen would talk from the jump.
Yeah. Warm-ups.
Who's this? Who is this? First team? First team. Every steal. And he never looked like he was trying.
Right.
And you dribble, and he'd be like, I got it. And I'm like, God, oh, lay up another.
Who are a few guys that you wish you could play against?
Shaq, for sure. I have no chance.
Yeah.
But Shaq. Because, like, even me, like, when I was drafted, I played, like, power forward my first. My fault. I played power forward my first, like, year or two in the league. Like, when I had LD as a coach, like, we were running, like, cross 54. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was getting, like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I would have had a chance. But, like, Shaq, AI would have liked to really play against him. Kobe in his prime would have been nice
Kobe,
to see.
Kobe, for sure. I never played against him.
Oh, AI was an automatic foul.
Yeah.
He was so quick. And then the minute he was by you, he'd go like this, and he was tiny. He'd boop, ah, foul.
Equivalent in the league right now.
James Harden, but... all everywhere around the court.
Yeah.
Like James is like top of the key, really. Right side, because everyone sends him right now. Or layup, where AI was everywhere on that court. It didn't matter. Like, okay, make me go left. Okay, I'm going over here. Make me go right. Okay, I'm going over here. And then free throws, free throws, free throws, free throws, steals, free throws, free throws, steals, steals, steals. It was crazy.
Probably Stat. I think that's probably the main person I want to play against. J. Kidd.
By Stat, he means Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, Amari Stoudemire, my bad. Tim Duncan.
Oh, God, you know, he was so tough.
Yeah, even like he said, Kobe, I think I missed all of these. Like, those were all right before I got here.
Some epic players
now.
Good
point. Oh, for sure. That's an excellent point. I was going to ask you about Tim Duncan, but go ahead. Continue that thought.
Tim Duncan was, I mean, it was crazy because he was never uncomfortable. I think the only time we ever made him uncomfortable was in 2010 where we swept them in the playoffs. And that's when, like, they were playing really big.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year next year, that's when, like, the whole thing of we're going to shoot a bunch of threes came in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were too fast for them.
Mm-hmm.
We were just running circles. Goran Dragic had 23 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, Amari was booming all over Richard.
you made Tim uncomfortable how?
Dude, you just gotta like have so much energy and will that like you have to speed him up. They run the same plays. They run the same plays everybody runs.
Mm.
They just know if you go over, I'm gonna get this layup. If you go under, I'm gonna get this shot. if you go over and then this guy tags, this guy's going to get, like, they just know the game.
That's why I'm asking. It almost seems impossible to speed Tim Duncan up.
Yeah, but you speed him up just in his decision making, and then you give him different looks. They were like, Channing, we're going to need you to front him a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to need you to gold him. We're going to get a double team when you ask for it. Mm-hmm. So we would, like, you know, double team from the baseline one time. Then we double team from the
exactly
top.
Exactly probably what you had to do, just to, so you wouldn't know.
No, because, what's going on. Old school players, when they would get double team, they'd take a dribble in place. So they'd be like, double team on the dribble. Mm-hmm. So they just take a double team in place to see if you're coming. But I'd be like, come on a third dribble. So you go, and then, you know, most guys put their head down. Yeah. One, two, you know, because that's what they work on. Mm-hmm. So Tim with one, two. Now he's like, okay, let me go into my move. Three, boom, double team.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just, and this is how crazy you locked in I was.
Yeah.
You had to be like, Channing, we're only going to play you 24 minutes and we're going to switch you with like Robin and Amari and we're going to put like all different types of people on him. But Ginobili, all that Euro step, all that like, pump fake, scoring, getting to the free throw line. He was a savage. Like, Tim was going to give you what you needed. TP was going to get you points and assists. Ginobili was going to get you a dub.
Yeah.
He was going to be like, I don't care, 1-for-11. We're like, double team him.
Yeah.
Double team him. Double team him.
He's going.
He's going. Like, I think even in 2000, all the teams that we played in the playoffs, I think the two players that we felt like, honestly, by themselves could beat us before Golden State, obviously, was Paul George and DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Those two guys, we were like, we got to stop it.
You got to stop them.
You got to stop them. Mm-hmm. Because they will give you 50 and win the game. Mm-hmm. Just because of, like, their skill set and in their system. And they're going to get everybody else going. So double team and make – because what you learn is – if you shoot 30 shots a game, that's what you're used to. If you shoot 20, you're used to that. That's your rhythm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you shoot 10 or 11, and you just pass, you become passive, you know? And so it was kind of weird for Paul that we were double team him
all
over the court. Yeah. Any come over half court, double team. Come through a pin down, double team.
Yep.
No, you're just not going to play. Like, unless you just go ISO Joe, you're not going to, play. But.
I'm sorry, I'm going kind of to a different direction just a little bit. I don't know when this will be edited, but the fact that it's March Madness right now, and I know you're not a fan of the Dukies or whatnot, and Keith, we talked about March Madness just a little bit.
Are they going to make the tournament this year?
Uh-oh.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Then no.
So they're not oh.
Isn't the Pac-12 going to get like one bid this year or something like
that? Yes,
sir. Are you guys a Big Six conference anymore?
Uh-oh.
What?
Yeah,
it's happens.
Just ask
it's a lunar solstice.
Just ask
Keith, get ready.
Like, it's a West Coast conference.
It's a almost transition year.
Okay.
For sure.
We're
dominating.
We're
dominating this transition year.
Right?
What?
Nope.
What happened?
Nope. So UCLA is usually a powerhouse.
You guys need Gonzaga. That's what you guys need.
U of A struggling.
You need Gonzaga to go into the Pac-12 if you want to start talking.
No.
Oh, no. So it's ACC time.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, just wanted to East throw that out there.
I mean, you guys got y'all a lot more money to spend.
That's what's up, right?
Y'all probably got a lot more money
to spend. We'll probably get three number one seats this year.
Got a lot more money to spend over on the East Coast.
That makes sense.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Zion just went there for free.
Right. You got Nike execs flying from China and stuff.
Right.
Now,
huh?
Hey, I agree. You talk about Duke, I agree with everything. 100%. How did you get
there? North Carolina.
Yeah, women's basketball, you know, a little more on the up, you know. You know what I'm saying?
More of the L7.
I don't know Candace Parker, you know, Candace Parker, like, you know, like, Candace Parker might have got a bag.
Oh. No. Faux show.
For show.
Faux, she has her own shoe. She faux show.
Tennessee probably gave her a little bag. Okay. No, maybe we don't. Who got, okay, how about this? Who got a bag in women's basketball to college you're going to? Is Baylor giving out bags?
Oh, Rebecca Lobo got a bag.
Ooh. Gino handed out
Where
bags?
Did Diana Taurasi go to college? Oh, UConn.
UConn.
Bag?
No. Okay.
She's just a savage.
What about the Gumake sisters?
No,
bags?
Not away.
What?
No bags. Stanford? No bag?
No. You don't
not
even
a
get a
chance.
Scholarship.
They're
you
just,
get a
they're Stanford part of Nerd Nation.
What about the girl? What about the girl from South Carolina?
Asia Wilson. Oh, for sure bag. Oh,
no way. She's from South Carolina. No way. No way.
You know what?
She's from South Carolina.
Women's basketball.
Dawn Staley.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to play for Dawn Staley?
Wait, like, I consider Temple. Didn't she commit somewhere and then or she was always
She was considering UConn until Dawn Staley went over.
Is UConn ruining women's basketball?
Yes. No, because they're not really. I mean, it's changing already with Notre Dame, with Louisville.
Right. Notre Dame's been up number two for the longest.
Oh, give me a
Notre Dame's been. Hey,
Skylar Diggins.
UConn has stopped a lot of legends. Yeah, yeah. UConn has stopped a lot of legends from getting championships.
100%.
That's true.
What about sister,
Tennessee? Used to be the same way. Are they bad for basketball?
You're right. Tennessee was. Ooh, when they had the old school jerseys.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I think it would be interesting to know. I would hope that women's basketball will soon get a scandal. I know I've said that, but I'm just making my point. I think it would be good to be like, it would hype. Look, no dads way. Would have their daughters out there shooting 1,000 shots a day.
Trying to get a bag.
If they knew people were giving the bag. 100%. Sure. Think about it.
Yeah.
If women's soccer was like, women's soccer, you know, North Carolina pays, you know, Becky Johnson $200,000 to come here. Hey, I'd be like, yo, Marco, going outside. If NC paying $2,000, what's goody?
There's for
y'all
sure.
Need. Y'all need a bag.
There's for sure something going on. Maybe not.
They're just better with it.
It's got to be.
They got to be better with it.
No way.
They
just have to be better with it. Game, guys.
Okay. Hey.
Oh, go ahead.
Yep. There's corruption at all levels.
Oh, all levels.
So, you know.
That's all right. Sorry. Corruption makes it interesting.
Yeah.
We like the drama.
Corruption, you know.
Yeah, we like happens. Corruption, shmuption. It's all right. Listen.
How
this should be paid
anyways. How do we feel about the LSU situation?
What happened?
I guess the guy got recorded saying he gave a kid some money and
it wasn't pretty. The hoop team?
Yeah, the hoop team. But they're really good this year.
They're nice.
I watched them play. They look like an NBA team out there today.
They got the big old boy.
What's his name?
Nas Reed.
Yeah,
they got length. I mean,
big ass point guard, man. Yeah, he's like 6'11", 6'10".
Here we go. We're going to clink on the goodbye. Ting tings. It's been a great combo. We'll definitely do this again. We'll get
For the record, Marquise Chris did not drink any wine.
Yeah. All right, cool. Bye.